Michelle's a pro at this bowling night from match. She's a real head-turner and getting all the strikes and attention. But my eye's on Amy. A bit clumsy, hasn't hit a pin all night. But that's exactly what I like about her.
Meet singles at our match bowling nights. Join Match Free today. 18 and over, additional fees and subscriptions apply. See match.com for details.
Wednesday, April 27, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we do our best to bring you a healthy dose of sarcasm with your sports. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast, you can go to iTunes, you can go to a place like Stitcher, you can go to Podcast Republic, you can pretty much go anywhere that podcasts are hosted. Or you can just head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You know, we post a few articles there. Always make sure to put up a link to the podcast there so you can always find the podcast there. You know, in fact, this week, we put up our second annual Daily Dose NFL Mockery Draft. Trust me, you're going to want to check that one out. You know, we lay out the first round of the NFL draft and kind of where players could be going. So you might want to head over there and check that out. If you'd like to contact the show for any reason here at the Daily Dose, shoot us an email. We'd love to hear your comment, your question. You may need some advice. You may have a suggestion for us. Feel free to hit us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. This week on the show, the NBA playoffs are heating up, and it's finally starting to get a little bit interesting. I want to touch on those. The NFL draft begins tomorrow, and we are going to look at the teams in the first round and kind of who they might be selecting, who they might have in mind to take. And as we do every week, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Always a popular segment on the show. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you are going to want to stick around for that. A few things coming out in the world of breaking news. Of course, last night, a couple of NBA playoff games, the Toronto Raptors knocked off the Indiana Pacers. Had to come from behind, had to come down 13 to do it. I told you last week, I think Indiana could still win this series. Toronto now leads 3-2. Toronto, it seems like every year they get into these playoffs and then their best players, it's not that they don't get any production from their bench. It's not that they don't get any production. It's their best players usually take a step back and don't have, the series that they would hope for. Toronto now up 3-2 in that series. That series is not over. Toronto up 3-2. And of course the Atlanta Hawks knocked off Boston 110-83. Atlanta leads that series 3-2. And I told you last week, I think that's a tough matchup for Boston. They've been scrappy, and they were good at home, but that is a tough matchup for Boston. San Francisco 49ers, general manager, Trent Baalke, he told ESPN today that Colin Kaepernick could be traded this week. Hey, I just want to put it out there. Colin Kaepernick could be traded this week. Again, I hate to keep bringing up this comparison, but doesn't it kind of feel like they're trying to unload a lemon used car? Hey, just wanted to remind you guys, this 1972 Chevy Vega is still here if anybody wants it. And he could be traded as early as today. What? Not any earlier than today? He couldn't be traded yesterday? Keep throwing that out there, San Francisco. I'm really, really hoping that the Denver Broncos aren't biting. Or if they are, they're giving him like $5 for it. Because I think you've got a bit of a lemon. Of course, you know, there was some big news this week as we've seen some injuries in the NBA playoffs. It sounds to me like tonight, back in, back for that series with the LA Clippers, you can get tickets for like $17 for the Clippers-Blazers game in LA tonight because Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are out. We are going to talk a little bit about that here in just a few minutes. And of course, big news this past week was that music legend Prince died at the age of 57. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you can play that. Prince died. I don't know. They said he was at his Paisley Park recording studio. He reported that he had been suffering from flu-like symptoms for a few weeks and just died at the age of 57. We don't always bring up entertainment news here at the Daily Dose, but Prince, for one, Prince was an iconic artist. I mean, this is a guy, just one of those kind of savant musicians, one of those guys that could pick up anything and just play it. But the reason that I bring him up on the Daily Dose is the fact that he was a big sports fan. He was a huge basketball fan. There are a number of stories. Well, there's a number of stories about him in general. I heard Questlove tell a story that there was a party one night, and it was at a roller skating rink, and Prince came to the party, and he pulled out these skates that they were clear skates, and they shot sparks out of the back of him as he skated, and they said he was one of the greatest skaters they've ever seen. Like he skated, like he played the guitar, or like he sang. It just was easy for him. I don't know if that's true. And of course, we've all seen the Dave Chappelle, the basketball thing. He was a really good basketball player. They say he played some high school hoops. He was a really big basketball fan. I would like to say that. He was a huge basketball fan. There are obviously the stories that, you know, when he was in concert, the Chicago Bulls or whoever in the NBA playoffs, he would have TVs off to the side of the stage. So as he's playing his concert, Prince could be playing his guitar solo or singing his songs. He could look off to the side and he could keep up with NBA playoff games. He was a huge NBA fan. There is the story back in, you know, with the 96 Bulls and the run that they were on and the amazing, I mean, they were, you know, pretty popular themselves. Prince would have courtside seats, and there was a story that Bulls forward Dennis Rodman goes off to the sideline. He sees Prince sitting in the courtside seats. He says, "Hey, Prince, we should, you know, go out after the game. Let's go out." And Prince just stares, looking straight forward. Doesn't change anything. It just keeps looking straight forward. Doesn't even acknowledge Rodman exists. Just keeps looking forward. And someone from Prince's entourage says, hey, Dennis. And now Dennis is no slob. I mean, this isn't like he's the backup scrub that doesn't get to play. Dennis Rodman's pretty big in his own right, right? Somebody leans over to Dennis Rodman and says, hey, Dennis, you can't talk directly to him. He'll never acknowledge you. You gotta go through, you know, his bodyguards, and then they'll talk to him, and then they'll talk back to you. And then, I mean, he's really interested in going out with you, but he you can't talk directly to him. Okay, so he's kind of a weird little guy. He's a little bit of a weird dude, but he really was a talented musician. Now, here's my thought. And why we're bringing this up, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about maybe tweaking some of the. Here's another thought: is it going to be a little bit weird whenever they do have the funeral ceremony or whatever that they're doing like an acoustic version of like Get Off or something? It's just me, or is that weird? Anyways, Minnesota guy, Minneapolis guy, Timberwolves fan, I guess. Like, granted, they haven't been great, but Timberwolves fan. If the Minnesota Timberwolves don't do like a Prince jersey this next year, come on. I mean, it's not like the Timberwolves jerseys are that great anyways. You've got to do like a purple jersey with the sleeves and the big collar and the big fluffy thing on the front. Don't you have to do that for him? You got to play at least one game with the Prince jersey, don't you?
Game. Blouses.
Got a lot of things to get to today. Let's jump in. You know, I would like to give a heartfelt shout out to all those bandwagon NHL fans that don't really watch the games, but come playoffs, they break out their, you know, Chicago Blackhawks jacket or their Los Angeles Kings flags or the Detroit Red Wings jersey, and they wear them around proudly and they say, yeah, you know, I've just been a huge fan forever. Granted, they haven't seen a game. And you can't name more than one player on the team, and you just bought the gear like in the past 2 or 3 years, but I know you're a diehard fan and you got to support the team. All three of those teams have now been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I have to tell you, for me personally, I couldn't be happier. I'm thrilled for you. You got to break that out for like one time, you know, on your casual Friday. You got to wear your Red Wings jersey or whatever it was, and that was it. And now they're gone, and we don't have to hear about them. Some crazy things happening in the NHL. The NHL is a little bit wide open. We're so used to it being the Blackhawks or the Kings that now this year with both of them out, I don't know who's going to win it. I don't have any idea who's going to win. You know, I was watching hockey over the weekend. There's a few series I was watching. I was watching the Panthers versus the Islanders, which was phenomenal. Had a couple of double overtime games. Very, very good series there. I watched a little bit of the Capitals and Flyers. Just wanted to see, you know, could the Capitals actually win a series? Were they going to choke it away like they usually do? And I was watching some of that Minnesota Wild Dallas Stars series, which was also very, very good. Very competitive. And, you know, early this week, I was even watching, of course, the Blackhawks and the Blues and just, you know, the final games there. Now, if you know me, if you listen to The Dose, if you tune in, you know I'm a basketball guy. I coach basketball for a number of years. I've been around basketball for a long time. I love basketball. But I'm telling you right now, I would rather watch NHL playoff hockey over NBA playoff basketball. And I don't know if it's that close. The NBA has got to do something about their product. They've got to do something about especially all those late game timeouts. There's 2 minutes left in an NHL game. You're on the edge of your seat. Every single play, you're on the edge of your seat. There's 2 minutes in an NBA game, and you're like, okay, here we go, and timeout, and commercial. Okay, and now they inbound it, and timeout, and commercial. Oh, and now they're going to take a shot, and timeout, and commercial. Meanwhile, there's still a minute 47 left, and each team still has 6 timeouts left. Can we get rid of all these? I don't know how to limit the timeouts. Maybe you can only take 2 timeouts each in the final 2 minutes, something. Because when it gets to the final 2 minutes, that is supposed to be the best time of an NBA basketball game, right? I mean, that is supposed to be the time that we tune in. Hey, you might not want to watch the whole game, unlike the NHL, which the first and second periods are actually, you know, good and competitive and interesting. You might not want to watch the whole NBA game, but the last 2 minutes you want to tune in. Well, yeah, except for the last 2 minutes takes 20. And it's not that interesting. NBA has to do something. They've got to tweak the way that I don't know what you have to do. You got to put some limits on the timeouts because I change it. I mean, if it goes to commercial 50 times, I just end up changing it. I just turn the channel and flip over to the hockey game. Got to do something about that. Speaking of the NBA, got a few coaching changes I want to talk about. Of course, the Minnesota Timberwolves. We talked about them earlier. They've hired Tom Thibodeau to be their head coach. Their head of basketball operations, I think like their governor, their big cheese, their mayor, whatever else they could give him. Like they were like, hey, whatever title you want, we'll give it to you. And I know that like Knicks fans and Laker fans were out there saying, oh, we want Tom Thibodeau. We'd love to have Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, but here's the problem. You're not going to give up that power. The Knicks aren't going to give up that power. What in the world would Phil Jackson do? The Lakers aren't going to give up that power. What would the buses screw up if they gave away that power? And they have to be able to screw up something. They've been screwing things up now for quite a while. So they're not going to give that away. And I'm telling you right now, Minnesota is not without talent. They went 29-53. But I want you to think about the roster that they have in place. And they're probably going to get some more talent this year. Zach LaVine. Yeah, sometimes. Ricky Rubio. He can't shoot a lick, but he's a solid point guard. Karl-Anthony Towns looked like the best young rookie coming out. And Andrew Wiggins. You think Cleveland wouldn't like to redo that deal? Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love? They'd take that back in a minute. If this group stays healthy this following year, could Minnesota make the playoffs? With Tom Thibodeau, I think they could. Now, that is some of the problem. Can they stay healthy? I mean, Thibodeau he drives his teams pretty hard. It seems like they always end up breaking down. As good as the Bulls were, it seemed like they were always just banged up. He rides them pretty hard. He makes them practice pretty hard. They work pretty hard. Seems like they're on their feet a lot. Seems like they're getting banged around in practice a lot. Seems like they just can't stay healthy for very long. But keep an eye on the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going to be better. They're going to be competitive. Tom Thibodeau, he's a pretty good coach. I know the Lakers and the Knicks wouldn't give up that power. It would have paid off if they had, though. Speaking of the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers fired head coach Byron Scott. Which, to me, is kind of, I don't know, that seems like kind of a dirty deal there, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about Byron Scott, yes, they were horrible. And you're going to sit there and you're going to look at him and say, well, you know, the Lakers have had some of their worst years ever under Byron Scott. But, I mean, he did get 60 points out of Kobe Bryant in his final game. Where's his credit for that, Laker fan? Oh, no, you're just going to blame him for the bad record. You're not going to give him any credit for what he did do. You know, so now there's a few candidates out there being lobbed around. Who's going to take over the Lakers? Who's going to be the next Laker coach? You know, Kentucky, John Calipari. Could they go with someone like that? Could they go with a John Calipari? Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is not currently coaching anywhere. Maybe Jeff Van Gundy. Jeff Van Gundy was a solid coach when he was up in New York. And Luke Walton. A couple thoughts on these coaches. John Calipari has it made. I don't know what you could possibly give John Calipari aside from just saying, now you're in the NBA. I would say now you're coaching professional basketball, but let's be honest, at Kentucky, he's already coaching professional basketball. So we can't really say that. You can't say, well, this is your chance to get in the pros. No, he's in the pros right now. So I don't know what you're going to give John Calipari that he doesn't already have. Mark Jackson seems like a good fit. I think for this group with the Lakers, what you have to have is that you've got to have a guy that can relate to the young players, a guy that has a little bit of that point guard mentality, because you've got a young point guard in D'Angelo Russell that you're going to have to nurture along and get him able to play at this level. And you're going to have a guy that is attractive to free agents. The Lakers have about $50 million bucks to spend. Now, if you are a free agent right now, if the market opens up right now and you can go somewhere, where would you rather go, Clippers or Lakers? It's not even close. It's not even close. As bizarre as that sounds, what upside-down world are we living in that people would rather go to the Clippers, but right now you would, because the Lakers are dysfunctional. And since, you know, the loss of Dr. Buss, we're not really getting the best situation from up top, are we? I mean, I suppose Jeannie is the one that should be running the show back there, but she's not. And she's not quite her dad either. I think Mark Jackson makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, when we're looking at the things that we need in a coach, Mark Jackson makes a lot. Jeff Van Gundy makes a little bit of sense. Van Gundy would be solid. I don't know if he would be great, but he would be solid. You know who doesn't make much sense? Luke Walton. I like Luke Walton. I think Luke Walton has a bright future as a coach, but slow down on the, did you see what he did with Golden State? Golden State's a machine. The Lakers are not. Well, they might be a machine, but they're like a broken mixer or something. It's not the same situation. And the problem is you have a young coach dealing with young players. Neither one of them exactly knows how to get through some of those obstacles. You need a veteran. You need a guy that has been through the battles, that knows, hey, here's what we're going to face. Here's what we do when we face it. I hate to say, but Luke Walton kind of strolled in and everything was kind of set for him. And again, I'm not doubting his ability to coach eventually, but that's a poisonous situation to walk into for a young coach. That might not fit. Speaking of those Lakers, I did get an email earlier this week, and this says, Clint, thanks for doing the Daily Dose. Big Laker fan, and I'm wondering, who do you see being the next Kobe Bryant? And that is from Jules. Jules in Carson, California. Thank you, Jules. I appreciate that. Who do I see being the next Kobe Bryant? I think there's a number of candidates, but it's not necessarily who people might think. You've got to have kind of a different kind of guy. You've got to have a guy, kind of a cold-blooded killer, a guy that goes out there, doesn't mind gunning up a few shots. I look at someone like Russell Westbrook. I mean, in the right situation, I think he might be the next Kobe Bryant. As he develops, as he continues to improve as a player, someone like that. Someone like Damian Lillard. Hey, he's a gunner. This is a scorer. Someone like that. I'm going to give you someone else I could see being the next Kobe Bryant that you might not think about. And you already have him right now, Laker fan. D'Angelo Russell. He could be the next Kobe Bryant. You sit there and he's nowhere near. He's not even close. Well, think about it. I mean, doesn't mind putting up a few shots. Doesn't mind throwing his teammates under the bus. You've got him right there. What are you talking about? Who's the next Kobe Bryant? It's D'Angelo Russell. The Sacramento Kings also fired their head coach, George Karl, after they went 33-49. And Boogie Cousins didn't like George Karl. Let me see if I have this right. Because I have to have this mixed up. I mean, George Karl is one of the top five coaches in the history of the NBA. You have Boogie making coaching decisions. Are you thinking about this? I mean, you considering this? Boogie Cousins is saying who you have at coach and who you don't have. I'm not sure if I want him making the decision on what I get at McDonald's, let alone... Really? Really? Boogie's making the call? I guess. So who will Sacramento get? That is the question. Who will Sacramento hire now? No one cares. I told you last week that the first round of the NBA playoffs has been awful. And I'm going to be honest, it's still a little bit true. There's some bad games. Of the eight series going, I want you to think about this. Of the eight series that are going currently, or in the first round at least, maybe they're finished now, four of them were even sort of competitive. And three of those are in the East because the East Conference is just a bag of steaming garbage. I mean, the Cavaliers swept Detroit, but the rest of the conference is playing really competitive, tight, close, bad basketball. Now, over on the West, the top three teams are rolling. They look like they're going to probably close out in six games or whatever, maybe five games. And then the Clippers are in this dogfight because they have injuries. And speaking of injuries, we have a ton of injuries. I mean, the Golden Boy, Steph Curry, sprains his knee on Sunday. That's not good. The Clippers have now lost Chris Paul to a broken hand. He's out indefinitely. Like, they don't even have a return date for him. And Blake Griffin is out for the playoffs with the injury to his quad. Now, I have a way to make these first-round series better. And I have an idea to limit the injuries going on in the NBA in the postseason. Because don't forget, it was just a year ago that Golden State was a little fortunate in the matchups they got, a little fortunate in the teams that they faced who were also having a ton of injuries last year, too. This isn't anything new. This happened last year, too. I have a way you could make these playoffs better. I have a plan. Here, at the Daily Dose, I have a plan. And it would work. But I'm telling you right now, it will never happen. It will never, and I mean never. Like they say, we'll never say never. I'm saying never. Never happen. But it would fix it. If you dropped from 72 regular or 82 regular season games to 72, it would help. Drop that number again. There's too many games. I realize they can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. I understand that. But if you dropped it by 10 games, it would help. And if you made the first round the best of five instead of the best of seven, these would be pretty competitive series, weren't they? These might actually be worth watching, wouldn't they? That's not the case. Stop asking NBA players to play 110 games. Their bodies do break down. Because they're playing all summer, too. Don't act like, well, from they only play, you know, 9 months of the year. For one, that's an insanely long schedule. What is it, October to July now? But they're playing off season too. So it's not like we just put them in the suitcase and wait for the season to roll back around. They're playing all year, every day. That's a lot of miles on those bodies. You look at a guy like LeBron James. He's got a lot of miles. He's got a lot of miles. And these guys are breaking down. And there's no wonder. Shorten the season. Make the first round five games only, a best of five. And now those series are getting a little more interesting. Now I might actually watch them. So, speaking of the Clippers are now in pretty serious trouble. Here's the problem. Their biggest problem that they had going into this, obviously, was the depth. Now they have even less depth. And they are in a dogfight with Portland. Portland is giving them a fit right now. You know, if you watch, and I can't just watch a game and just say, you know, they're going up and down. I got to try to analyze at least a little bit of what's going on. If you watch the Clippers defensively and what they do and how they're trying to trap every ball screen because they don't want Lillard and these guys coming off the ball screen and getting that shot up, you might say, well, they only hit three of them. Well, yeah, but that's 9 points. So they're running these ball screens. They run these high ball screens. They come off and they're looking for that quick three coming right off the hip. The Clippers kind of struggled to defend that. And then when they have defended it a little bit better, notice that they started to bring Blake Griffin out and have his player set the high screen. Now they're making him run all over. I don't think it was an accident that Blake Griffin got hurt. They were making him run all over the floor. They were making him chase people all over the floor. Interesting to watch that little bit of a chess game going on between the Clippers and the Blazers. And the Blazers, they're hanging right in it. They're still right there. Golden State Warriors should be able to survive without Steph Curry. He's supposed to be out 2 weeks, but in like, you know, NBA playoffs, that's what, like two games or something? I mean, they're so spaced out, he won't miss much. They can get by Houston. And now it looks like they'll be able to get by the Clippers because the Clippers, they're gonna do well if they can get past Portland. They might not get past Portland. That might be. So for the Warriors, again, a little bit fortunate this year, aren't you? You have a chance to beat a Rockets team that's pretty bad, and then you might be facing either a banged-up Clippers team that is probably going to be led by the coach's kid at point guard because Chris Paul is out. And Chris Paul was having a phenomenal year. I told you, I like the Clippers a little bit, at least to battle with the Warriors in a second-round matchup, just because of the way Chris Paul was playing. That was the one guy they couldn't lose. Like, they could lose Blake and still survive. You still have DeAndre Jordan. You still have some other pieces. Chris Paul, you can't live without Chris Paul. Nope. Nope, he was playing too well this year. So that might be, you know, too much for the Clippers to overcome. The Warriors, they can beat those teams without Steph. Like, Steph could sit out the next 3 weeks, and they probably wouldn't really miss him that much. But here's the thing to keep in mind. The Spurs and the Cavaliers are just resting and waiting. So here's the question. Who comes out of the other side of the bracket more healthy? The Spurs or the Thunder? Don't sleep just yet on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know. Their offense is horrible. They run some really goofy things. They don't really run much is the bottom line. And they go ISO more than anybody. Westbrook and Durant are out there just going ISO, every single time. One-on-one. And everybody else is just standing watching. I realize that. But they can't score points. And, I mean, when you think about San Antonio, this is a bunch of old guys. San Antonio is an eyelash away from losing a major player themselves. These are a bunch of broken down bodies. These are a bunch of guys that have a lot of mileage. We talked about that before, a lot of miles on their body. Could Oklahoma City sneak through this? I mean, whoever comes out from the Spurs and Thunder, they're at least going to have a shot at it. They're going to at least have a chance to beat the Warriors, especially if Steph isn't 100%. Now, when we saw the incident, you know, he slips on the sweat or whatever on Sunday, goes down, and then, you know, you're fearing the worst. Did he tear something? Is it going to be something that keeps him out for a long time? What's going to be the situation with Steph Curry? It's a grade one sprain. That's just a grade one sprain. No big deal. Understand this. A grade one sprain still means there is a slight tear. It's not that he's completely out of the woods. I think he'll come back. I think he'll still be able to play. But understand that is still a slight tear in the ACL. It's not a complete tear. It's not anything that he can't come back from in a few weeks. You never know how the body's going to respond. But that is a slight tear. I don't know how he's going to come back. No one does. NBA playoffs are going to be interesting. I don't know if they're going to be good, but they're going to be interesting to watch going forward. Of course, the big news this week, we've got to switch over to the NFL, was that a federal appeals court has ruled that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady must serve his 4-game Deflategate suspension. Now, please, don't get this confused. I've talked to a few people just this week, just in the last few days, and they heard about the Deflategate thing, and Tom Brady is back suspended. The first thing out of their mouth was, well, they can't prove those football. This has nothing to do with footballs. This has nothing to do with deflating footballs. This has nothing to do with any of that. And I'm not going to stay on this subject for long because I'm tired of talking about it. But this has to do with a collective bargaining agreement. See, the CBA says that Roger Goodell is judge and jury. The players' union is saying he's not judge and jury. The problem is the appeals court really doesn't care what happened. Like, they could care less. Well, you deflated the footballs, and then they were in the room, and then the ball boy went in there, and then Tom Brady told him to do this. They don't care. They could care less. What they look at is they look at the collective bargaining agreement, and they see that the commissioner can rule on player conduct issues. And I'm sure that Tom Brady is going to appeal this, but will another appeal judge rule any differently than these guys did? I mean, it's kind of cut and dried. The CBA, when they bargained for this back in 2010 or whatever it was, the commissioner can judge on player conduct, can judge on player doing something that is detrimental to the game. He can judge on that. Well, then that's that. See, these appeals court, they don't care. These judges, they don't care. They don't care what happened. They don't care who let air out of the football. They could care less. They look at the agreement and said, okay, is he following the agreement? Yeah, he's following the agreement. Okay, well, then that's it. So I'm sure Brady is going to appeal. And I'll be very, very surprised if he ends up serving all 4 games. But remember, you know, the judge that let this and said Brady doesn't have to appeal this, remember that he was kind of frustrated. He was trying to get the NFL and Tom Brady to come to a deal. Hey, why can't you guys settle this? Don't bring this to me. You guys come up with a settlement. And the NFL said, we're not settling anything. And then he said, okay, well, then I'm giving it to Brady. But I understand that was out of frustration. He wanted a plea bargain could kind of be met. That's not the case anymore. These guys don't care who said what to who. They look at the agreement. Are they following the agreement? If so, then they're going to rule for the NFL. If not, then he's going to give it to Tom Brady. This isn't over, but I'm sick of talking about it. We'll see what happens going forward. Let's get to the NFL draft, because the NFL draft is starting tomorrow in Chicago. Now, it's a little bit different. First round on Thursday. So they'll just go through the 31 picks this year because, remember, the Patriots don't have that pick. And then on Friday, you'll have the second and third rounds. And then on Saturday, you'll have the fourth through the seventh round. You know, the NFL draft is such an inexact science, though. For all the things we think we know, we don't have any idea. We don't know who's going to be what. And when they go out there and they evaluate these prospects, you have like 3 or 4 years of game tape that you could look at. Like, here's 3 or 4 years of this guy playing in a live situation, playing against competition. Here he is. Let's see if this quarterback can drop back and make this throw under pressure. Let's see if this defensive back can drop back and cover. And we say, well, I mean, that's all well and good, but why don't we have this guy come out and play in a pair of shorts, and we'll put him on a field with no other players, and he's a quarterback, so let's put up some brooms and see if he can throw around the brooms. I'd rather go off of that. That sounds like a foolproof idea. And then they evaluate off of that. That's why you're seeing some of these quarterbacks that are starting to move up the draft boards, and they're starting to talk themselves into, oh man, this guy's really, really good. Is he? Because in the 2 or 3, 4 years he was playing in college, he didn't look that good. Oh, but he looks great, you know, in a Speedo, running up and down the field and jumping high. So then these NFL scouts are, oh, no, he's really good. It's a bizarre. The NFL draft is a bizarre situation. It really, really is weird. They rely on some you know, workouts, not games. It's very, very strange. But let's take a look at the first round of the NFL draft. Let's go through maybe a couple different directions that these teams could be looking to go in, because there's a number of different ways they could go in. The Los Angeles Rams. Yes, Los Angeles, not St. Louis Rams. Does feel a little bit strange to say that. But the Rams traded up with the Tennessee Titans to get the first pick in the draft. And then they said immediately, oh, we don't know who we're going to pick. Really? Don't you? Don't have any idea, huh? Just want to move up? Yeah, I gotcha. I understand. Yeah, we're not really sure. Just wanted to have an option. We know who they're going to pick. They're going to take Cal quarterback Jared Goff. I think of the top two quarterbacks, I like him a little bit less, but maybe that is just me. The Philadelphia Eagles also traded up. They trade up with the Browns, and they are going to go to the second pick in the draft. And it certainly looks, again, they trade up, and, well, we don't know. We're not really sure who we're going to pick. It looks like they're going to take North Dakota State quarterback Carson Wentz. Now, people are going to say Goff is more pro-ready. But, I mean, Goff played in that, you know, Sonny Dykes pass-happy offense. I think Wentz is actually more ready. Of the two quarterbacks, I would take Wentz. Wentz has played a little under center. He has played in a little bit of a pro style. That does matter. Now, I understand what the Rams are doing. The Rams are trying to drum up some business. Hey, look, we got our hometown boy, California boy right here. He's going to be our new quarterback. He's going to be really, really good. Maybe. We'll see. But I think Wentz is probably more pro-ready than he is. You know, the Eagles traded up. Of course, fans were at least interested. But their quarterback, Sam Bradford, got all mad. He got all mad. And not only did he get all mad about it, he got all mad and demanded that the Eagles trade him. Said that he would not report to any more offseason workouts. Demanded a trade. Look, Sam Bradford, here's the deal. Let's say, I don't know, that you work at like In-N-Out, okay? And let's say that you're not really all that good at your job. Like, you have potential, but you're not really good at the job. And like, you drop burgers on the floor every once in a while. Sometimes you burn the fries. You're kind of a jerk to the customers. And then you get mad at In-N-Out for hiring a new cook. Look, I understand. I completely understand. If you're Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers trade up for the number 2 pick, and they're going to get a quarterback, I totally get Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, what are you doing? Do you realize who you have here? I'm an all-pro. But for Sam Bradford to have the unmitigated gall to be offended and ask for a trade is absolutely insane. He's been the model of inconsistency. He's been the exact guy that you say, I don't really have any idea what he can do. Slow down, Sam. You're not exactly a viable commodity here. It's not like the Eagles are saying, they already have Chase Daniels as the backup. They can go to him. It's not like you're really bringing anything to the table. Well, I don't know, come in and throw about 15 touchdowns and like 18 interceptions. Can we replace that? Yeah, we can replace that with pretty much anybody. We can go get Brian Hoyer to do that. Sam Bradford acts like he's really going to show him what's what. Slow down, Sam. And don't hurt yourself pounding your fists on the floor with your temper tantrum. Because we've seen that you're a little bit injury prone. Sam Bradford getting mad about being replaced. Unbelievable. Pretty amazing. The number three pick in the draft will go to the San Diego Chargers. You know, San Diego pretty much needs help everywhere. I mean, they went and got, the running back out of Wisconsin last year. They don't need a quarterback. I guess there's a positive. They don't need a quarterback just yet. There's a couple different ways they could go. I think the Chargers will probably go defense. I could see them going like Joey Bosa, the defensive end out of Ohio State. I could see them going Jalen Ramsey, the corner out of Florida State. But I think the Chargers will probably go on the defensive side of the ball. Number four, the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are basically going to take whichever one of those guys the Chargers don't take. So I think they'll take either Bosa or Ramsey, another team that needs to beef up their defense. And Jalen Ramsey, a little bit unproven at Florida State. I told you a couple weeks ago, I think he could be a tiny bit overrated. He played some corner. He played some safety. He's very athletic. He looks very good in those combine workouts. And you just know that Jerry Jones loves that stuff. Like, he likes shiny things. He's just like, it doesn't make any sense, but I like that guy. He's just, yeah, like, he wanted Johnny Manziel. I mean, that tells you a little bit of where Jerry Jones is at. I mean, he just likes shiny things. He's just a weird guy. He likes goofy things. So I would expect the Cowboys to go. Now, the one guy that I could see them possibly taking, because they did lose DeMarco Murray and they did feel that loss, could they maybe go Ezekiel Elliott, running back out of Ohio State? Keep an eye on that. Jacksonville Jaguars are at 5, and the Jaguars, again, need to build up their defense. Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA, could make some sense here, but, you know, Miles Jack had that knee injury. Pretty significant knee injury, and they are saying, he can play, but they're saying he's a bit of a time. It's a matter of time before that knee pops again, because the damage that was done in there, it's not a done deal. It may go again. Taking a little bit of a chance, Jacksonville, but I think they'll probably take Miles Jack. They need to vamp up that defense just a little bit. The Baltimore Ravens are at 6, and the Baltimore Ravens need some help on their offensive line and their defensive line. I mean, they had so many injuries last year, lost a number of people on both sides of the ball, but I think they'll probably go defensive line. I think they probably go with Forrest Buckner, the Oregon defensive end. You know, they haven't been, I mean, they've lost a lot of people. They've when you think about Haloti Ngata and some of those guys that they've lost from their defensive line, it used to be Baltimore was that team that you just knew, okay, up front, they're going to be really, really good defensively. That's not the case anymore. They've got to beef that up. San Francisco 49ers are at 7. You know they wanted Jared Goff. I mean, you know, sitting there with their situation and Colin Kaepernick and are we going to trade him, you know they were really hoping to take Jared Goff. Would they reach for a quarterback? Would they dip down into that second tier of quarterbacks and go way too early and just be like, well, we got to get somebody. Let's go get Paxton Lynch here at the 7. I don't think so. I think they probably go Laremy Tunsil, the big offensive lineman out of Mississippi, who is extremely athletic. If you don't know Laremy Tunsil, he caught like a screen pass and motored down the field for a touchdown this past season with Mississippi. So that's a guy who's extremely athletic. Could take him. The Browns are at number 8. And, you know, we talked about Cleveland and how horrible they were in free agency, but I kind of like what they're doing right now. I told you last week, trading down makes a lot of sense, especially in this draft where there are no sure things. And so getting more picks makes sense because you're kind of guessing. You don't really know what you're getting out of this draft. Granted, this is Cleveland. So, I mean, they're probably going to screw up the picks, but still, I give them kind of the A for effort. If the Cowboys don't take Ezekiel Elliott, I think they will here. Because I think they look at him and say, well, he would at least give us one player on offense that teams would be concerned about. Don't be surprised to see Cleveland trade down yet again. They're really big on the offensive lineman Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame, and they may think that they can get him down 2 or 3 spots. If they could pick up an extra pick, don't be surprised to see Cleveland trade down. Number 9, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa's defense gave up 27 points a game last year. 27 points? Now, they could go offensive line to protect Jameis because he did get sacked a lot, but I think Florida cornerback Vernon Hargraves is probably the way that Tampa will go with their ninth pick. The New York Giants are at 10. They've got to get some help for Eli Manning. I know it's easy to make jokes about Eli Manning, and I'll be the first in line to you know, make one. But Eli didn't suddenly just get bad. He like didn't suddenly just get horrible. You've got to get some help around Eli. Offensive line, maybe a Ronnie Stanley or someone like that could come in and make Eli kind of get back to form. I look for the Giants to have kind of a bounce back season this year after last year missing the playoffs. At 11, the Chicago Bears. You know, John Fox kind of putting together a little bit of a team there. The Chicago Bears are no longer kind of a laughing stock where just a year or two we looked at them and then we're like, yeah, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. They're not quite there anymore. And when you look at this group of linebackers John Fox is getting, he gets Danny Trevathan. He gets Lamar Houston. If he takes Leonard Floyd from Georgia here, that's a pretty solid group of linebackers. Now, if Ezekiel Elliott falls, the Bears love him. The Bears would love to get him to replace running back Matt Forte. But I just don't think he'll fall that far. The New Orleans Saints are at 12, and their defense is so atrocious that like James Harden looks at New Orleans Saints and is like, do you guys even try? Like, what are you guys doing on that side of the ball? You don't even try. So I would assume that the Saints will go defense. They'll go A'shaun Robinson out of Alabama, maybe Shaq Lawson, someone like that. Miami needs an edge rusher. They need a cornerback because they lost Brent Grimes. So Miami could take a corner, Eli Apple or maybe a Kevin Dodd. The Raiders, the Oakland Raiders, who I love to make fun of every single week. Can't believe I'm saying that. The Raiders are kind of looking like an NFL franchise. I've heard a few people starting to talk about, hey, you know, the Raiders might take the AFC West. Slow down. You still don't have all the pieces there. But I kind of like a little bit of what the Raiders are doing. They could go get an interior pass rusher. They could go get someone like Sheldon Rankins out of Louisville. Their secondary was not very good. Wouldn't be surprised to see them take Houston corner William Jackson with their pick. The Oakland Raiders, maybe, I guess, an outside shot at a playoff spot. The problem for the Raiders right now is the AFC West seems like it's, you know, just a couple years ago, like 8-8 could win the division. And now, of course, the AFC West has gotten better. The Broncos will still be there. The Chiefs seem like they're getting a little bit better. I would think the Chargers would be a little bit better this year simply because they can't possibly be any worse this year. The Tennessee Titans are sitting at 15. Do you realize that Marcus Mariota was sacked 38 times? Now, you might sit there and say, well, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of sacks, you know, over a 16-game season. That's only, you know, two times. He only played like eight games. So you might want to look at getting an offensive lineman for him. Jack Conklin from Michigan State might make some sense. The Detroit Lions have now lost Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley in consecutive seasons. So someone like Sheldon Rankins out of Louisville makes a lot of sense. Someone like Jerron Reed out of Alabama would make some sense for the Lions. They really need to replace that defensive front that they used to have. They were kind of known for that defensive front. That has kind of slipped away. The Atlanta Falcons. Just that old defense. Their defense is old. It's not very good. Remember the beginning of the year last year? And they were like, I don't know, 5-0 or 6-1 or something like that. And they were like, hey, the Atlanta Falcons really have a good defense. Yeah, except for they were playing really bad teams and they were still giving up like 26 points a game. Falcons defense isn't very good. They'll probably go defensively. Linebacker Darren Lee out of Alabama could end up in Atlanta. The Indianapolis Colts. We learned in 2014 that Andrew Luck really can be pretty good, and he is capable of carrying a team to the playoffs pretty much on his shoulders. But in 2015, we learned not if he gets hit on every play and, you know, like Von Miller blows up his kidneys for him. Then he's probably not going to be as good. The Colts need to get offensive line help. It's funny. Because the Colts keep saying, hey, we don't care what the position is. We're just going to take the best player available. Okay, yeah, and we're going to believe you. I think they'll get an offensive lineman. Taylor Decker out of Ohio State could be going to the Colts. At 19, we have the Buffalo Bills and Rex Ryan and him running his mouth about what they're going to do this year. You know, the rumor in Buffalo is that Rex Ryan gets this Bills team to the playoffs or Rex Ryan loses his job. I mean, they have some pieces. I don't think they have very much depth, but they have a few pieces. They need an edge rusher because Mario Williams flat out quit last year. You want to talk about a guy just quit? I mean, his teammates even said, no, he quit. He didn't play. So I think they may go with a Shaq Lawson or someone like that to get to the quarterback off the edge. Rex is going to go to more of a 3-4 scheme this year, a little more than he did last year, and we'll see if they can get a pass rush off the edge. You know, the Bills went from like 52 sacks in 2014 to like 24 sacks in 2015. Huge drop-off under Rex Ryan. He has to get that back. At number 20, the New York Jets, they need an offensive lineman. But here's the thing about the Jets. Who are you protecting? They won't sign Ryan Fitzpatrick because he wants like $12 million a year. So the only other quarterback they can protect is Geno Smith. So I fully expect them to need an offensive lineman and be like, let's go get a linebacker or like a safety or something else. We don't really need to protect Geno, do we? We had one of our best years ever when someone socked him in his face last year. So I don't know if they'll do that. They may go linebacker Reggie Ragland or someone like that. Washington needs defense. Their defense was pretty bad last year, and I expect Washington, they may take a bit of a step backwards this year. Kirk Cousins, yes, he looked great last year playing against the AFC South. It's going to be a little bit of a different deal this year. They could look at Jerron Reed out of Alabama. Number 22 in the first round of the draft is the Houston Texans, and I'll say this for Houston. They signed Brock Osweiler to that huge deal. We talked about the guaranteed money that Brock was going to be getting. They are doing their best to make sure Brock can have some success. I mean, they get rid of the backup. They get rid of Brock Hoyer, Brian Hoyer, who probably could help them in a pinch. But they're like, no. We don't even want any competition here. I think they'll go get another wide receiver just to make sure that Brock can look good. I think they'll go TCU's Josh Dotson or maybe Notre Dame's Will Fuller. The Minnesota Vikings are at 23, and I think they'll go with a wide receiver as well. But don't you just know they kind of wish they could draft a kicker? They're like, did you see that playoff game when we had that chippy to win it? Can we draft a kicker in the first round? But they'd look like, idiots if they did that, so they can't do that. At number 24 is the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals lost both Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu at wide receiver. So I look for the Bengals to take a wide receiver here. They could go Corey Coleman, maybe a Will Fuller or someone like that. But the Bengals are going to need somebody at wideout because they've lost some people. And then, they'll take like a good kid and then he'll get back there with the Bengals and he'll be going to strip clubs and like shooting up bars. And they'll indoctrinate him just the way that the Cincinnati Bengals do. At number 25, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They need a cornerback badly. They haven't drafted a cornerback in about 15 years. I look for them to take someone like E.I. Apple or Kendall Fuller. The Steelers, they lose Dick LeBeau last year. And at the start of the season, you kind of started looking at the Steelers and go, yeah, their defense really doesn't look that bad. I thought they would take a huge step back. And then they started playing teams that, weren't named the Cleveland Browns. And we started going, yeah, no, they're horrible. Their defense is not very good. So I look for them to go to a corner. The Seattle Seahawks lost Brandon Mabane. I think they will have to replace him. Chris Jones out of Mississippi State. Maybe a Vernon Butler out of Louisiana Tech. The Seahawks need a little bit of help up front defensively. The Green Bay Packers are at 27. Now, here's a weird story about the Packers. And if you don't follow the Packers, you might not realize this. B.J. Raji, their nose tackle, he's on hiatus. He didn't want to play this year. He just, nope, I'm not going to play. 2016, that's not good for me. What do you have in 2017? So he's just going to take a year off. And then Mike Pinnell, their backup nose tackle, he's out the first four games for violating the substance abuse policy. So I think the Packers need to go to defensive line. Andrew Billings from Baylor could make some sense. The Kansas City Chiefs are at 28. Now, we know they have Alex Smith. Could they go get Paxton Lynch? Kind of a similar type quarterback? Maybe a little bit of a scrambler. Maybe he's not quite as accurate on his throws, but he kind of scrambles and does some rollout stuff. And could they go get Paxton Lynch? Possibly. Justin Houston blew his knee right after the season. Not at the end of the season, right after the season, right after the Chiefs had finished. So they could go try to replace him. Wouldn't be surprising to see the Chiefs go with an outside linebacker to get a pass rush until Houston gets back. Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky could be a possibility. The New England Patriots are sitting at 29, but Patriots owner Robert Kraft forfeited this pick for no reason whatsoever because they didn't do anything wrong, but he decided to let the league have this pick back just because he wanted to be nice. But not really for any reason. He just gave it back. But there's no reason there. They didn't do anything wrong. At 30, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, the Cardinals don't really have any pressing needs. I mean, well, aside from a good playoff quarterback, but they don't have a situation where you're looking at and say, well, they have to have this. They kind of are pretty set. Would they take a flyer on like a linebacker like Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame? Jalen Smith blew his knee. It significantly blew his knee. They said there could be some nerve damage. But, you know, if he doesn't blow his knee, he's probably a top five pick. Could you take him and redshirt him for a year and then see if you get him back to what he once was? Might be interesting to think about. Carolina Panthers, of course, are at 31. They need a better offensive lineman because Cam Newton is seeing Von Miller in all of his nightmares. I look for them to take someone like Jermaine Ifedi out of Texas A&M. And then our Denver Broncos. Number of ways that the Denver Broncos could go with the final pick of the first round of the 2016 draft. Could they go quarterback? Could they go get a Connor Cook or a Paxton Lynch? Will they take someone like a Connor Cook and then trade him to the 49ers for Colin Kaepernick? Possibly. Could they be looking at a safety? They don't have much depth at safety. They have two very good starters in T.J. Ward and Darian Stewart, but they don't have much depth there. Could they go get safety? Could they go offensive lineman? You know, they totally rebuilt this offensive line. They're going to have two or three new starters on that offensive line. Could they go get an offensive lineman like Cody Whitehair out of Kansas State or LaRaven Clark out of Texas Tech? Could they go get running back Derrick Henry? Might be a little bit of a reach for him this early, but he might be a good fit, a good zone running back, big, strong kid, likes to run the zone cutback lanes. Could they go get someone like that? Any of these are a possibility. Could they go defensive tackle and try to replace what they lost in Malik Jackson and you know, make sure that defensive line is back to where it was a year ago? You know, I'm going to throw out that they might go Robert Kimdichie, the defensive lineman out of Ole Miss. Now, remember, he did have some issues last year, a little bit of a marijuana issue, fell out of a hotel window under the influence of marijuana. But the good thing is, you know, here in Denver, you know, access to marijuana is pretty limited. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we're talking about the NFL draft today. We're looking at probably the top two picks in the NFL draft being quarterbacks. And everybody looks at these quarterbacks and they're like, oh man, Jared Goff, he's going to be a stud. We look at Carson Wentz. Oh man, Carson Wentz is going to be a phenomenal player. If you go get that top pick and you use it on a quarterback, you're probably going to get a pretty good player, right? Not necessarily. Remember, the NFL draft is an educated guess on all levels. That's all it is. You're just guessing. Everybody's guessing. Everyone's kind of pretending. Does this translate? Are you going to be in the right system? Are you going to be with the right coach? Are you going to have the right players around you? But everybody's just kind of guessing. And you want proof of that? Today, our Daily Dose Top 5, the worst quarterbacks taken with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. They're not all great. Just because you take that top quarterback, you don't always get the John Elway or the Terry Bradshaw. Sometimes you get something way, way less than that. First off, in our Daily Dose Top 5 today, worst quarterbacks taken with the number one overall pick, I got to give an honorable mention. And we don't always give honorable mentions on the top five. Usually we just go with our straight five. But I got to give an honorable mention. And you know who that's going to go to? This guy was drafted in 2010 with the top pick. He is 25, 37, and 1 as a starter. Oh, I know. He's put up a few big numbers. He had the most completions by a rookie in his first season. But the guy never wins. 78 career touchdowns. Nothing to write home about. Very average. But he sure got mad when his team traded up for the number two pick. Our honorable mention goes to current Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford. Yeah, Sam, you're one of the worst ever taken with the number one overall pick. Okay, let's get to our actual top five. Top five quarterbacks taken with the number one overall pick that ended up being the worst. Number five has to go to Terry Baker. Who? Exactly. That's what I mean. You know, Terry Baker played both football and basketball at Oregon State. He won the Heisman in 1962, and the Los Angeles Rams drafted him number one in the draft in 1963. This guy was an athlete. He looked like a can't-miss prospect. He lasted just three seasons. They found out pretty early on he's not suited for the pro game. Lasted just 3 seasons, started 1 game, lost that 1 game, and ended up going to Canada and playing a couple years in the Canadian League. Terry Baker, a guy that went to Oregon State, looked like he was going to be the real deal coming out. Drafted by the Rams with the number 1 pick. Didn't quite turn out. Terry Baker is number 5. Number 4 on our list today. Now, this guy had an 11-year career. So you could make a case he doesn't really belong here. The problem is that when Jeff George was coming out of Illinois, he looked like he couldn't miss. This guy might have thrown one of the prettiest passes in the history of the NFL. He had a cannon for an arm. He had a great pro day. They still talk about his pro day being one of the greatest pro days ever. The Indianapolis Colts draft Jeff George in 1990. The problem with Jeff George, he wasn't a leader. He was not very good under pressure. He bumped and bounced around and ended up with like 5, 6, 7 different teams. Never could really, be much of a winner. Finished his 11-year career with a 46-78 record. Now, yes, significantly under 500. He went to 3 playoff games total in 11 years, and his record was 1-2 in those games. So for as long of a career, I guess, as Jeff George had, the future looked so bright for him. He looked like a can't-miss guy. He looked like almost like that Andrew Luck kind of player where you look at him and say, man, he's going to be really, really good. Never turned out. Jeff George is number 4 on our worst quarterbacks taken with the number 1 overall pick. Number 3 on our list. Okay, this one's not his fault. It's not entirely his fault. David Carr was drafted by the expansion Houston Texans in 2002. And Carr had been great at Fresno State. Big, strong, tough kid, could make all the throws. But in just 5 seasons, David Carr was sacked 249 times with the Texans. And you could just see David Carr completely lost his confidence. He ended up lasting 11 seasons, but most of that ended up being as a backup after he left Houston. And his record as a starter was just 23-56. Houston Texans thought they were getting their franchise guy, thought they were having, this is going to be the guy that's going to be the face of our franchise. Well, actually, kind of has been the face of their franchise. Getting sacked a lot and not really accomplishing much. Number 2 on our list of worst quarterbacks taken with the number 1 overall pick. Got to be Tim Couch. And, Couch put up huge numbers at Kentucky in Hal Mumme's offense. Hal ran that air raid offense, firing the ball all over the field. So the Cleveland Browns take Tim Couch number 1 in 1999. And, he struggled a little bit early in his career. Finally got Cleveland, competitive. I think they went like 8-6 in 2002, or at least he did. But the problem with Tim Couch, couldn't stay healthy. Got beat up a lot. And that's the thing when you have some of these quarterbacks. Got some quarterbacks now going to be taken by teams that maybe aren't that adept at protecting them. They get beat up. They get hit. They get injured. They have problems in those regards. Tim Couch, he couldn't stay healthy. And then he tried to make a comeback in 2007, got popped for anabolic steroids that he was taking to try to get himself better. Finished his career with a 22-37 record. Played just 5 years in the NFL. But to be fair, it's not all bad. He ended up married to Playboy playmate Heather Kosar. Not the worst life that Tim Couch is, could ever have. I mean, maybe it didn't work out quite as well in the NFL as he had hoped, but he's got a reason to wake up in the morning. Our number 1 worst quarterback taken with the number 1 overall pick. Let's be honest. Who else could it be? Got to be Jamarcus Russell, doesn't it? Russell was the starter at LSU for 2 full seasons, in 2005 and 2006. And he put up a pretty solid record. He was 22-4 as a starter in those seasons, threw 52 touchdowns. The problem with Russell, he always looked really, really good against the really, really bad teams. So when the SEC schedules that late out of conference game against like the Central Carolina or whatever, he looked great in those games. He looked really good against Vandy and those kind of teams. But when he played, the Auburns and the Floridas and the Georgias, he looked pretty average. And it didn't end up being a coincidence. He had an amazing pro day. Again, another guy that people look at back and they say, man, Jamarcus Russell's pro day was one of the best pro days we've ever seen, ever. Yeah, it's pretty amazing how he went out in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt and threw the ball all over the place and looked good. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's not that hard to do. Don't base everything off of that pro day. The Raiders took Jamarcus number one in 2007, and then he held out for more money, wouldn't sign his contract. And then he wouldn't work very hard when he got there. He didn't really understand the game, didn't have a very good football IQ, and he got pretty fat. Dude was running about three bills. He was out of the league after just three seasons. Then he got arrested for being in possession of large amounts of prescription codeine cough syrup. And, of course, he didn't have a prescription for all that codeine cough syrup. That was in 2010. You might not realize this. Jamarcus Russell recently wrote letters to all 32 NFL teams asking for a tryout and said he would play for free. Got to tell you, after what we saw from Jamarcus Russell, that might be a little bit of an overpayment. Next week, we will recap the NFL draft, take a look at which players went where, what moves were made. You know there's going to be a number of trades, there's going to be a lot of movement. Take a look at which teams got better around the NFL. The NBA, of course, should be continuing to get better. We'll get on to hopefully the second round, actually get into maybe some competitive series. We'll take a look at the NBA playoffs. I know I keep putting this off, but we might have to talk some baseball at some point. I still haven't done it. I keep putting it off. The good news is we still have like 11 months of the season remaining, so it's not a huge deal. And of course, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You always got to stop and check in on that. If you get a chance, head over to wherever you download the podcast from, whether it be Stitcher, Podcast Republic, iTunes, wherever. Just give us a quick 5-star review and a rating. We would appreciate that so much. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just, hey, love the podcast. That's perfect. That's great. But it gives us a chance to be seen by a few more listeners. And as you know, the bigger this gets, the better it gets. Hey, have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week. Enjoy the playoffs and enjoy the NFL draft. I will see you all next week.
There's no easy way to say what we're about to say.
We believe your wife is a German spy.
This year, the truth will be discovered.
I know for a fact you'll be proven wrong.
Allied, starring Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Allied, in cinemas November 25th, rated TBC.
Hey, what happened to my kiss?